Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
The FIA World Endurance Championship on RS1.
On RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
You might remember that at the start of the 2023 FIA World Endurance Championship season at Sebring, we had the ACO's Technical Director, Thierry Bouvet, join us in the Global Broadcast Centre to explain the new data-driven balance of performance. At the start of the 2024 season in Lusail, Qatar, we invited him back into our broadcast centre at the track to explain one or two nips and tucks that the system has undergone during the closed season. First, I asked him about the change in terminology.
Yeah, we try to give better name, such as people can better understand what we are doing currently. The first one being homologation parameters, which are linked to the homologation process. We're talking about wind tunnel, we are talking about center of gravity, height, and so on. So that's the first stage of the shuttle, let's say, homologation parameter. The second stage is called equivalence of platform. We used to call it platform BOP, but we feel it's a better name, equivalence of platform. That's between the best LMH and the best LMDH car.
Okay, right.
And the last one is manufacturer compensation. So it's for each manufacturer individually.
There's also a new part of the table, which we haven't filled any numbers in yet for LMH, but we have for LMGT3s. And this is a sub-200K and a more than 200k BOP. Now that, to my uneducated eye, is about acceleration versus potential Vmax, top speed. What is that, right? And why do you feel the need to do it?
That's exactly correct. I don't need to explain you anymore.
No, but well, it can't be that simple, Thierry. What's the thinking behind it? Why have you had to enact this? What are you trying to achieve by it?
So basically, before we had two tools to play with, mainly the weight and power, and to try to achieve the same top speed for all cars will have an impact on the weight, so we wanted to differentiate that, and with an additional tool which is, as you rightly described, the power for acceleration and the power for top speed, we can better handle the weight situation. So that's been introduced this year for LMGT3. And it's really a good tool. Because in LMGT3, the car are a little bit more apart, or let's say separated, in terms of aerodynamic compared to hypercar.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we went this road. And we actually got good results with that. So,
Is that going to be enacted in LMH as well? And where are you getting that data from?
We did some tests during Prologue here in Qatar. We discussed that in length with the manufacturers, with hypercar manufacturers. Mm-hmm. They're happy to go ahead with that, and that's probably a tool that an additional tool that we will use for future races to be more accurate and avoid playing too much with weight.
Right. Yes. Weight. I always think weight is not as what's the word I'm looking for? Not as elegant a way of balance of performance. It works, but it affects so many other parameters of the car. And therefore, you are changing the performance envelope of the car by adding a lot of weight.
Yes. Yeah. So, which have other impacts. So that's why, by separating the power, it's really a good tool. And then eventually we've got aerodynamic as well, where we can play and limit the wing angles and stuff. But so now we've got aerodynamic, power, acceleration, power, top speed, and weight. So that's four levers to be able to, let's say, adjust the speed profile between each cars.
And how often do you expect or intend to have to make changes to any of these parameters, whether it's sub 2 and plus 200, or whether it's any of the other tools? Would it be potentially every event? Could it be circuit specific? How would it work?
It will be circuit specific. First of all, LMGT3, it's the very first time we're using this, let's say, updated, very sophisticated process, which we'll use in Hypercar now since a couple of years. So we've implemented torque meters this year in LMGT3. Mm. Very good tool also to be able to monitor the power output at the wheel. And yeah, I mean, obviously, if we want to have car performance, it's really track dependent. Because as an example, if you compare Qatar and Le Mans, the length of the straight line, the corners are quite different. So we'll have to have slightly different figures for weight and power. But it doesn't mean that we are actually changing the BOP. We are adapting the BOP to the track characteristic.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Does that not take away some of the variety that we're used to seeing in sports car racing, where a particular car might be better around the twisty bits, another car might be better if there's long straights?
No, it would still be present, of course, but it's to help the equalization between due to track specification.
And so are we aiming for every car making the same lap time in the same way here, or is there still... areas that teams and drivers can make a difference?
No, we are trying to have the cars in a similar way, but the teams and the drivers and the tire pressures and the, it's still down to the engineers and the drivers at the end of the day.
So we're not BOPing the human element this.
We don't want to do that.
A very important point is that what is happening in 7 of the 8 races will not necessarily affect the 8th race, being Le Mans.
It's a specific one, as you know. I was just explaining this for the track characteristic. Le Mans is very specific and it has to be kind of looked in a different manner.
Mm. And where does that data come from?
So, I spoke earlier with simulation, so obviously all that is being the results of the output of the simulations. And obviously, Le Mans, as you will recall, drag is has a very important, let's say, it's very important for Le Mans, drag power, more than any other tracks. So that's why the output will be different. And it needs to be treated as a different track.
Yes, it's really important to get the opportunity for everybody to compete.
That's because the way we analyze data, it's simulation-driven, data-driven, rather than timing-specific, where obviously it's not... Manufacturers, competitors do sandbagging, it will be translated into timing. We do more data-driven analysis.
How do you and the SCO and the FIA decide whether teams, manufacturers can have mid-season upgrades? We've heard Porsche have been talking about a new crankshaft.
That's Hypercar case. In Hypercar, we gave a very specific calendar, and basically what we said is anything new must be brought 2 races before Le Mans. We don't want new stuff arriving at Le Mans.
Right.
So that's the calendar is clear. It has been clear since 6 months or even 1 year. So we want manufacturers to be able to plan correctly, and we don't want to discover things at the last minute.
You've got quite a lot of new manufacturers here, both in Hypercar and in Le Mans GT3. How's the process been with them?
Well, Hypercar, if people came have the same car last year, we don't need to repeat the wind tunnel test. But obviously, LMGT3, we wanted to characterize all the cars present in WEC this year. So it's, you can imagine, 9 manufacturers. It's roughly, to give an idea, wind tunnel test, we're talking kind of 2 to 3 days of preparation, one full day in the wind tunnel, and 2 to 3 days post wind tunnel too. So it's roughly a week.
A week per manufacturer?
Per car, yeah.
Wow. So that was more than 2 months just to do the manufacturers?
Yes. Our guys were quite busy.
Quite busy. We're talking about these slight changes and the change of nomenclature, etc., the naming changes. But you're not saying that the original process and concept was broken. This is just refinement?
Refinement, improved with experience, and also we've got 1 year worth of data.
Yeah.
So that brings a lot also.
And is it purely the data that you garner that you use? Because some of these cars, of course, are running in IMSA. They're gathering
their update? Are you still talking to the guys over there?
We are. Our performance guys got weekly meetings. It's really a strong group all together. So it's really nice to see that working across SEO, FIA and IMSA. So yes, we're exchanging data and it's really good.
From your point of view, what's your interaction with the different manufacturers being, both in hypercar and in GT?
They basically see the value of what we're doing. We've got technical working group with them on a frequent basis. And as I said, the process we use in LMGT3 is a kind of similar process to hypercar, maybe slightly reduced, slightly lighter, but more or less it's a proven concept, let's say.
And but nobody's done it in GT3 before.
No, but it's
a whole new level.
It's a very good value.
Yes, yeah. It's a whole new level. Exactly. And we talked about this being empirical, about it being data-driven. It's not somebody making a value judgment based on, well, that car was a little bit quicker here and a little bit slower there. Everything has to be
driven
by the data.
Yeah, clear.
Yeah. Are you happy?
Yes. It's a good race. I would say we've gone through the hot part of the race. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to the cooler part of the race. And things might change.
How do you, in the balance of performance and the performance envelope, how do you account for things like that, for quite big changes in temperature, particularly when we get to the night at Le Mans, for example?
Well, that's also a part that, at the end of the day, is down to the team to optimize their car to the best period of the race. We don't want to to remove them from the team, so... team's operation, it's we feel it's quite important. BOP cannot do everything.
No. And it's not meant to be.
It's not meant to be. BOP brings, as we know, for hypercar is clearly cutting cost quite a lot.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Now, people will ask you why, but it's quite simple. There's no point in people trying to develop and continue to sharpen the razor blade. They have what they have. You've got to make the best of what you have, and the better you are at getting as close to 100% of your performance, the better you'll do in the race.
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you to Thierry Bouvet, the ACO Technical Director, who joined me during the Qatar 1812-kilometre race, the first round of the 2024 FIA World Endurance Championship. And we'll have full, live and free coverage of the whole of the 2024 season here on the Radio Show Limited network of channels.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at radiolemans.com.